Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us to learn today about Simcha. We're in the Shara Simcha in the Orchos Tzadikim. It is Yud Tammuz, Tavshin Peidal, July 16th. And we're going to discuss lofty attainments of joy today because we're in that part of the Sefer. And the Orchos Tzadikim starts by quoting David HaMelech. The Chen Omar David. David said in Tehillim Kuf Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, in the and he said, "Borchi nafshi," in the command form, you, my nefesh, should bless Hashem. That David is speaking to his nefesh, and he says, "Borchi." Nefesh is lashon nekeva; it's feminine form. So the imperative, the command form to the nefesh is "Borchi." You, my soul, should bless Hashem. So the question the Orach Tzadikim seems to be wondering about is why is David speaking to his neshama and saying, you, neshama, or nefesh, we know there are five different components of soul, nefesh being one of them, without getting into why he chooses nefesh in this case. But David says, you, my nefesh, should bless Hashem. And this is the intro to the beginning of today's discussion. It's all about aliyah. It's ascending to the level that we can be in touch with our neshama. One of my greatest mentors, Rabbi Kibbel Zichron LeBracha, used to say, what we need to relate and to address is people being in touch with their neshama. We think about it. Overwhelmingly, we tend to be dominated by our physicality, our materialism, our goof. We are in a physical, mundane world. And it takes work for us to get in touch with our neshama, to remember that it's there. David HaMelech is in direct communication with his soul, and he says, "Baruchi, you neshama, you nefesh, you bless. Baruchi nafti." As the Orach HaTzadikim tells us, why does David speak that way? And that means we're looking beyond what meets the eye, beyond what meets the enei basar, human eye, the flesh and blood. We look to the eternal. We look to the spiritual, to the infinite, which is the spiritual component that's encased in our body. L'fisha ha-nefesh mi-mala, ha-ola l'mala, says the Orach HaTzadikim. And the next several lines in the beginning of today are almost mysterious and mystical. But we're going to read them for the simple explanation and do the best we can with them. Ha-nefesh mi-mala, the soul which is coming from the loftiest, most sublime source, ha-ola l'mala, which ascends upward. Even while we're in this world, we can be living an otherworldly existence. Remember we talked about the Gemara in Brachos, where one chacham would bless the other one. Olamcha tire b'chayecha. You should see, you should capture a sensation of your world, of your Gan Eden, of your spiritual bliss, even while you're standing and living in this mundane world. So the nefesh is Ola Lamala. It definitely ascends. It soars upward. That could be a daily occurrence as we connect with Hashem. Another way to say it is to connect with our spiritual components. That overwhelming spark, which we can allow it to be overwhelming, that's inside of us. Yodas Inyan Soda. When every soul knows and is aware of the matter of its secret, and whatever that means, it's not so simple. But it means that every neshama is different. Every single human being is unique. Remember, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin? Inyan Soda, there's a secret connection. Only each person knows that connection. Only you know yours. Only I know mine. That's the Sod. That's that secret connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hisehav Esbora. When it understands and comprehends where it's supposed to be going, that we're supposed to be serving Hashem, doing Torah and mitzvot, and that's our purpose, then it will really arrive at a passionate love for its creator, which is Sagel Mitzvosav, and will treasure the mitzvot, the precepts of Hashem, of the Torah. V'chasher tagiyah ha-nefesh el ha-machitza v'hamala asher hidomalo, and when the soul will arrive at the partition and the level that it is similar to it, which means, simplistically, every neshama has an identity. Every nefesh has an identity. Yes, there are five components. Let's mention them. The Medrash Rabbah says there are five names for the soul. And another way to say it is there are five different aspects and levels to the neshama, to the soul. There is the famous abbreviation, in case you want to remember all five. One of them is quoted in many svarim is Naran. What's Naran? Nun Resh Nun. That's the neshama. And what's the Resh? That's right. The Ruach and the Nefesh. So the neshama, the Ruach and the Nefesh. And then there's the Chaya and Yechida. So there is neshama, Ruach, Nefesh, Chaya, Yechida. Those are five components, or as the Medrash quotes, names for the neshama. Well, all of those connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we in turn connect with those components of us, which is the main part of a human being, which is what we're all about, then we are able to arrive at this passionate state of love and emotional attachment to Hashem. Then that soul will set it aside, will specialize it in its inner chambers. This is a little bit beyond my grasp, for sure. That part I understand. Will delight and find spiritual amusement and bliss in its inner chambers. Again, simplified, the Aruch HaTzaddikim seems to be telling us that a person can arrive at a state of elation when the person realizes the purpose in this world through the neshama, which has its own personality, each and every person, uvachol eis, uvachol rega, at an every time and in every moment, kosheket ahavaso, that nefesh longs for the love of Hashem, desires it. We have to harness and employ and activate our emotions, our lev, besides the moach, besides for the intellectual part of us, the brain. We also have to be emotional about it in a positive way. V'zacheres osa balayla, and that neshama remembers the love of Hashem. At night even, al yitzuav, on its spread, on its bed. What does that say? The way I understand it is, again, simplistically, that if a person is immersed in avodas Hashem, in chesed, Torah, and mitzvos, then the person experiences an all-encompassing sensation and emotion of love. And you might know that the Mesillas Yesharim definitely connects these sentiments of joy and love. Oz Hashem Baruch Hu Sholeach B'Cheshek HaSimcha. Now the Aruch HaTzaddikim drops us a very positive bombshell, and that is that we can only do so much. We can only accomplish so much. We're human beings. We are finite. But Hashem meets us part of the way. In fact, the way the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, most of the way, because we can only accomplish a very limited amount because we're human. We're on this earth. But Hashem sends Peshek HaSimcha. Hashem infuses a person with that love, that desire of joy, that passion, that longing for Hashem, because I am not able to do that all by myself. I cannot wrap my brain around that. Bahalei Yivar. And after we receive that divine assistance with this emotion of joy and love, the heart will burn. The Yidlak will be kindled. Meirov Cheshek Ka'ava. From the abundance of the longing of love for Hashem, this passionate love, this desire that the neshama has to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with its unique source coming from Hashem. The Inyan Shenemar, like the matter that is said in Yeshaya, Tam Aleph Yud, so asif Hashem, I will surely rejoice, I will celebrate in Hashem. Hagel nafshi belokoi, my soul will exult in Hashem, in my God. Did you notice belokoi? It's very personal. My God, we each have elokoi. We have this personal, unique, special connection, communication, a kesher with Hashem. Ba'ashrei hanefesh, fortunate and happy is the soul, hazocha, which merits la'os ha-simcha, such a state of euphoria, of elation, and of joy. The Aruch HaTzaddikim continues, perhaps on a slightly more mundane level, feel it's more in my reach, en ha-shechina Torah la'ela mitoch simcha. We know that Hashem's presence only dwells from the midst of a mood of joy. If a person is not happy, if a person is depressed, and we already said that there are times that we have to experience that. We work through it. But during that time, there is no real Hashruas Hashkina. You know, how many years was Yaakov unable to have Nevuah, to have divine inspiration from Hashem? That's correct. You got it. That's 22. 22 years. Yaakov Avinu, it says, was not able to really have Hashruas Hashkina. He was mourning for the loss of Yosef. That's remarkable. It's unbelievable. It's unthinkable for one of the Avos to be out of touch, to have a connectivity problem, Chas v'Shalom. Yes, because he wasn't in the right frame of mind. It was supposed to be that way, without getting into Parshas Vayesha and Mikates. Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis tells us this. If we want Hashem Shechina, we have to try to work on being besimcha. B'chol hanaviim, and all the prophets, lo hayom yisnabim b'chol eis sheyirtzu. All rumors to the contrary, notwithstanding, as Meir Rosh Hashiva says, a prophet, a navi, was not able to have constant communication from Hashem that he would be able to transmit to Bnei Yisrael. No, they cannot have nevuah whenever they'd want to. It's the same with Ruach HaKodesh. People who have Ruach HaKodesh, every person who can attain levels of Ruach HaKodesh, that's not at every moment. There's fluctuation in our mood, in our ability to be a conduit for divine inspiration. Ella, what did the Nevi'im do? You know what he's going to tell us. Mechavanim datam. They would direct their minds. They would concentrate. The Yoshvim, and they would sit. They have to settle down. Let's say they're agitated. It could happen. Yoshvim semechim. They would need to sit calmly in a positive mind frame. Semechim, happy. V'tobelev, good-hearted, umisnabim. With positive emotion, and then they'd have their prophecy. She'ein ha-nevuah shdora, because prophecy does not dwell, it doesn't work. Lo mitoch atzlus, not from the midst of laziness. Whoa, that's the first one. Famous Chazal, laziness, if a person is sluggish, sometimes we can't help it, we're weighed down. So we have to try to work through that atzlus, like when we first wake up in the morning, or whenever it occurs. But there will not be nevuah. There won't be any high levels of attainment and connection with Hashem in the context of atzlus, of being sluggish and lazy. It's the opposite. Malachim, whom we emulate, we can even do better than malachim. They're quick. They move with alacrity and enthusiasm. That's the way that we accomplish, with efficiency. Below mitoch atzlus, not from the midst of despondency, of depression. There is no nevuah. If the navi, if the prophet, was sad, if he was depressed. Ela mitoch simcha, rather from the midst of joy. Lefichach, therefore, b'nei ha-navim. The students of the prophets, mevim lifneihim, they bring in front of them. Guess what? Picture it. Nebel, a lyre. It's a type of string instrument, according to some opinions. Lyre, the shof, and the tambourine or drum. Percussion, the chinor, and all. Harp, and only then they would seek to have some type of prophetic vision that they could bring to Klal Yisrael. But they have to be a receptacle, a conduit made of the right material at that moment, which is positivity. It's written, this is one of my favorite episodes in Tanakh, Malachim Beis Gimel Tesvav, Ohaya Kenagin Hamanagin. And it was when the musician would play, Bati Alav Yad Hashem, and hand of Hashem was upon him. What happened? That was prophecy. Who was the prophet? What was going on? You might be familiar with the fact that in Malachim Beis, Perek Gimel, there was an episode between the Melech Yisrael. He was a Rasha. That was Yehoram ben Achav. It was Achav's son, Yehoram. And he had an alliance with Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, who was the Tzaddik. And they also were together with the king of Edom, at this moment, in order to try to fight against Moab. And they went to the Navi, to Elisha. And I'll read you the couple of psukim, just two psukim. And we'll talk about what Rashi says. Vayomer Elisha. So this is what happened. Comes in front of him, Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda the Tzaddik, Yehoram ben Achav, the Melech Yisrael, who's a Rasha, with the king of Edom. And Elisha became angry. By Yomer Elisha. Elisha said, Chale Hashem Tzavakos. By the life of Hashem, I swear by the life of Hashem, Asher amadati lefanav, in front of whom I've stood. Hilule p'nei Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda, that if not for the face of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, anino say, that I respect, if not for this gentleman right here, this tzaddik Yehoshaphat, im abit elecha v'im erekka, would I even look at you? I wouldn't be interested in seeing you, Yehoram ben Achav, because you're a Russia. You're a hypocrite. You usually go to false prophets. Now suddenly you're in danger. You come to the Navi Hashem. He became agitated. How do I know that? How do I know? At his level, he became angry, because then we see he wasn't able to have Nevuah. He wasn't able to tell them what they should do, how they should launch this battle against Moab. So what did he say right away? What did Elisha say I need to do now? Be'ata anau kuchuli menagein. Take for me a musician. I need a musician to get into the right frame of mind. Music. And then it happened as the musician played. Then the hand of Hashem came on him. He was able to have prophecy. By the way, even in the 3 weeks that are coming up, even during Sfira, everyone asks his or her own Rav. But we know that it's a consensus that when a person listens to music, let's say in private, because the person is depressed for a specific purpose like that, it's actually allowed, even in times that music isn't supposed to be listened to for just pure enjoyment, when there's a purpose, even in times that music is not listened to, it is supposed to be listened to, again, privately, so it's not misunderstood, in order to get us out of depression. So the Navi also said, I need a musician now. I cannot have Nevuah. I can't even tell you guys what to do or how to do it. I need to turn the music on. Rashi explains, the Navi was upset. He was annoyed, to say the least, because Yehoram ben Achav was being a hypocrite. And he said, why are you coming to me now that you're in trouble? So he was unable to have Nevuah, and he knew it. So when he listened to the music, then his mood improved. Then he could have Nevuah. We know the Nevi'im had musical instruments with them. You look in Parshas Bishalach with Miriam. It says, Batikach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aharon Eshatof Biada Batetzenacha Nashim Achareha. The Supim will be Macholos. So it says, Miriam the Nevi'a, the day that her prophecy was fulfilled, that the Egyptian army was decimated in Parshas Bishalach at Oz Yashir. It says, Miriam Hanavia, that day she's called the prophetess. It says she took Hatov, the tambourine or drum in her hand. Look in the Sfas Emes. He explains that, hey, Hayadiyah, the definite article, the drum. What do you mean, the drum, the tambourine? Yeah, that's correct. Every Navi had a designated instrument or instruments in order to be in the right frame of mind. So lest we think, oh, Tzadikim, Nevi'im, Chassidim, they're always there. They're always at the level. They're always in the right mood. They're always joyous. It's not true. They fluctuate. They have ups and downs. We have ups and downs. It's totally normal. As I've mentioned before, on Yomim Noroyim, in one of the piyutim, the Chazan says, Yishta'er bikir bi, ve'es aschil. There's a storm going on inside me, a sara, like a ruach sara. My emotions are storming as I begin to daven in front of you, Hashem. That's my Chazaras Hashat, the repetition for the Chazan on Yom Noroyim, one of the days. And I always say to myself, there is a storm of emotions in every person. Some of them are just light. Some of them are medium level. Some of them are severe. It's normal. That's a normal human condition. So the Navi says, I need music to get back into the right frame of mind. Says the Orchos Tzadikim at the end of this paragraph, the Harachamon Yisimenu, may the merciful one Hashem place us, may Anfe Avodasu Hasmei, from those of his people, of those who do his service, who are happy, who are joyous. That's a tefillah. It's such an important tefillah that we should be besimcha. And remember, we've talked about Tein Ata, Ribono Shel Olam, I have issues being besimcha. I am by nature a depressive personality. And it's a challenge for me. Please, Hashem, help me to be basimcha. Inject me with it. Infuse me with it. Od yesh toelas basimcha. The Aruch HaSiddiqim continues. There's another benefit from joy. There are two men, they said about them, that they were going to merit the world to come, the Gemara says. They were definitely going to be Bnei Olam Haba. Why? Because they were joyous people. They had a positive outlook on things. They worked on themselves. But they didn't leave it at that. They didn't contain it to themselves. When they would see somebody depressed, melancholy, they would try to make him be in a better mood. They were not apathetic. There's almost a widespread, I would say, it's a bizarre type of dilemma in the world, the phenomenon called apathy. I don't think it's something new, but it takes on different faces today, where I don't really care so much about what's going on with other people. It doesn't really matter. So as we see, Chazal, obviously against that. That's not what the Torah wants. It wants us to care. We're supposed to be sensitive people and to care. And here's an example. These people, they didn't say it's enough for us to be in a good mood. No. We're going to help other people also to look at life in a positive way. So they tried to get the person out of his depression. When they saw two people quarreling, struggling, having a fight, they would say funny things to them. I guess they have to do that delicately. Until they'd make peace between them. Very thoughtful of them. They really cared about society and about what people were doing. Also, when it comes to learning and teaching, we begin with something funny, something humorous when we start learning. In order to open up the heart, to learn with joy. I've tried a few different things over the years. And one of the funniest things is when you try to be funny and it's not funny, then people find that to be funny. So that's also a way to go, although not to try to plan it that way. And then I actually bought a few books of bad jokes. Well, there are any different ways to get people to either laugh or groan. But what I usually do is if I have a joke to say, I announce ahead of time, I need at least one person to volunteer to laugh at least a tiny bit at this joke so that I won't feel bad. So sometimes we need to lighten things up a little bit, says the Orcha Sadiq. Oh, if you think about it, think about what it says in Avo. Remember in Kenyan Torah, in the ways to acquire learning, it says you're supposed to have miyut chok, minimize how much laughter is going on. Yeah, but if you look on the Mepharshim on that, in Kenyan Torah, it says miyut chok. It doesn't say to eliminate laughter. No. It doesn't say there's no laughing allowed. There has to actually be. There's two ways to look at that brisa. One of them is don't overdo it with laughing. But the other aspect, which is true, is that there needs to be a little bit of laughter also in order to open up our minds to have harchavas hadas, to learn properly. And yeah, I know you're thinking about the other Mishnah, Skok Sukalos Rosh Margilin to Adam Le'erva, from the Lashon almost like that. We know that too much laughter brings to immorality. That's the giddiness in the wrong types of social setting. That's correct. So we have to gauge it and use it properly. That's why midos are called midos, because they're measures. So the measure of laughter, that's also a measure. But there has to be some laughter, some humor. Imagine having a learning experience with no humor whatsoever. Sometimes we can just find the humor that exists, the irony that exists in people's behavior that's in Tanakh. Also, sometimes that's hilarious. Like, what was the person thinking? Achlo simchas nevala v'simchas havalim. Obviously, the joy that we're supposed to infuse our learning with is not supposed to be joy of nevala, of obscenity, chas v'shalom, or of nonsense. Ella, divrei ha-mitzvos, ha-mesamchim et ha-lev. These are things of mitzvos that make the heart happy. Kidachliv, as it's written, Tehillim Yotesh Test. This is found in Tehillim Perek Yotesh Pasuk Test. Pikudei Hashem Yisharim, mesamchei lev. That the commandments of Hashem, the mitzvos of Hashem, are straight and upright, and they make the heart happy. The chol zeh is simchas mitzvah. And all of this is with mitzvah joy. And there are many examples. We know that if we look in the Rishonim and Achronim, there are numerous pieces of wisdom that we find in there. In fact, I think I decided I'm just going to end with one today. give you something you weren't expecting. It's about Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, wow, where's that? That's coming up in like when? Oh, yeah, it's coming up a little while. So there's a sefer called Minhag Yisrael Torah. Now, you say, well, why am I going to talk about this now? Just to show you something that's a little bit funny, but it's halachic. So the Minhag Yisrael Torah says he noticed that some people on Shmini Atzeres, they have a minhag. They eat. You ready? I'm going to describe what he says. He says they are round, maybe cylindrical, long food made of dough, flour. Sure sounds like pasta or spaghetti. And he was wondering, well, why are they having spaghetti with soup? They're having spaghetti with soup or some kind of liquid on Shmini Atzeres. And the way he describes it, when I read it to anybody, they say, oh, that's pasta. But it's not just pasta, it's spaghetti. So first step is spaghetti with gravy on Shmini Atzeres. Are you ready? Okay, you might not find this funny, but it's definitely entertaining. It's actually a minhag brought down. Why? Because we know that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it says, and this is the next of the Shalosh Regalim coming along, so therefore it is kind of appropriate. It says, B'chag nidoni ma'al hamayim, that over Sukkot, we're judged for water, how much rain the whole world will have for the following year. Okay, fine, yeah, so spaghetti? Spaghetti? Pasta? Huh? So he says, wow, when you have spaghetti or cylindrical pasta with soup or gravy, what does that look like? That's right, it looks like earthworms. And when do earthworms come up? That's right, when it's really wet and rainy outside. Oh, so since on Sukkot we're judged for water, everybody knows that kol holech achar achitum, everything goes by the conclusion, by the end. So the whole Sukkot Yontif, it works up to a crescendo that we're being judged for rain. That's why we put on the kittel. We have tefilas geshem on Shmini Atzeres. We start thinking mashiv aruach, morid hageshem, hageshem, locust, how to pronounce it. It's in Ramosha and Rav Yaakov. But the point is that as we're being judged for rain, so we eat a food that looks like earthworms, because that's a good simon that there should be a lot of rain, and then the earthworms come up, and they're in the puddles. Well, that's the spaghetti and the soup or the gravy. Okay, well, even if it's not funny, but it is a little entertaining. So we should try to find some entertainment in a positive way in Torah, in Chumash, of course, in Gemara. And Gemara is full of hilarious statements of Chazal. I'm sure you're aware. In the Midrashim, when we look at all this, we see the significance of Simcha. The Orach HaSadikim told us about our soulful connectivity to Hashem through Simcha, our passionate love to Hashem, and the need to ask Hashem for help. Hashem should aid us, that we should all be besimcha. And yes, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem, we come today, it should be Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. We will, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem, be having our Vod. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful week.